Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today is another interview and I'm so excited to introduce you to Hillary Billings. She's the CEO and co-founder of Attentioneers and I'm so excited for y'all to learn a little bit about what she does. Welcome Hillary to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so I love starting off this way. Just tell us a little bit about you and Attentioneers. I love the name too.
Oh, thank you so much. We are engineers of attention. We help personal brands, entrepreneurs, and businesses grow their reach and revenue, specifically through short form content strategy, short form video. So sub 1 minute, we're talking Instagram reels, TikToks, YouTube shorts, Facebook reels, whatever Twitter/X is doing these days in that realm. But just in general, our expertise is on how to capture and keep attention both on and offline and combining entertainment with psychology and bringing those things together to reach your target audience and to convert to what you want your customers to do with you.
I love it. And I know that you and your co-founder have had a lot of success in this area, and that's probably what kind of led you into this. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So our backgrounds are both in different types of entertainment. So I was a producer for E! News, a journalist, an on-camera host for USA Today. I spent a lot of my 20s working in the media industry as an international travel blogger. I knew how to write great titles and knew how to make great interviews and make content to be distributed all over digitally and in print. And my co-founder is a professional touring musician, a Billboard charting artist. And so he had a lot of experience in making great content that people love to listen to. And right around the time of the pandemic, we were looking for new ways to make revenue, like many people. And we were approached by an acquaintance of mine who happened to run the largest group of Facebook creators in the world. Like his creators were doing over 60 billion views a year. And he had a couple hundred creators in this group and asked if we'd be interested in making short form content. And so given our history in making great content in different mediums, it didn't seem like such a stretch to jump to making 3 minute or less videos. Sure, that would be easy. We know how to make great content. So we started making these videos and nothing was working. We spent 9 months banging our heads against a wall, watching video after video fail. And it was so frustrating because the way that we were monetizing, right, was through ad revenue. So the goal was to get a viewer through the ad that was placed, you know, randomly in the video by the algorithm. And then we would split that CPM money with Facebook. And we knew creators that were massively successful at this and making amazing livings by doing this type of content. So we tried copying what they did and that didn't work. And we tried our own thing and that didn't work. And we tried making content that we loved and that didn't work. And it starts to get to you and it makes you feel like maybe you're the problem. Maybe people don't want to watch you. And we finally had to have this come to Jesus of, we either need to figure this out or we have to cut and run because we are now losing money trying to make this happen. So we sat down one weekend and locked ourselves in a room and watched thousands of viral videos. So all different types of genres, all different types of creators, all different types of platforms. And we created a spreadsheet because what we in that moment knew was that we didn't understand what was working or why it was working. And the question that we had was, what if everything that we thought was accidental in these videos, because they looked so easy, they looked like they were just haphazardly thrown together and like someone just pulled out their camera and boom, they got 40 million views on this thing and they didn't even have to try. And it seemed so maddening. And then it hit us, well, maybe it's not that narrative. Maybe actually the creators were very intentional about the video, but they just made it look easy. So we started to keep all of these factors written out on a spreadsheet. What's happening at second one? What's happening at second three? What's happening at second five? What are they wearing? What are the colors? What are the captions? You know, how close is the camera? What are the camera angles? What are the edits? And as we started to look at all this, which by the way, I don't recommend doing for your mental health. We did it so you didn't have to. We started to see all these different patterns and formulas appear. It was kind of like, you know, John Nash in A Beautiful Mind, where it's the writing just kind of pulled out from the wall. It's like, okay, let's see if we can apply these to our videos. And what was interesting is that what we saw working actually had nothing to do with a lot of the things that popular social media gurus push out there about trending audio or hop, you know, certain hashtag strategy or posting at certain times of day. Like all of these different posting strategies actually had very little to do with the success of these videos. There were other very foundational pieces that mattered more. And in fact, there's three things that every great video must have in order to be successful. So we took those learnings and we applied it to our next video. And that next video did 5 million views. And the video after that did 10 million views. And it's not to say that everything that we touched turned to gold, but essentially, I think it was one in every four or five of our videos did over 1 million views. One in every 10 did over 10 million views. And over the course of the next year, we went from doing essentially zero views in the 9 months prior to in the following year, over 1 billion organic views on our content. And through that process, really understanding how we can engineer content and set it up to capture and keep people's attention and get them to take the action that we want them to take, which was very powerful. And then we decided, you know, we saw such a gap in the market for personal brands, for entrepreneurs, for service-based messengers that want to get their voice out there and yet are struggling to do so and don't know how to connect via social media. And so we see so often everyone's just trying to copy what everyone else is doing exactly the thing that we did, right? Because you see someone else doing it. So maybe that's the thing you're supposed to be doing because everyone else in your industry is making that happen, but you don't know how successful they're actually being at it and it's not working for you. And we really just have such a heart for people that wanted to connect with their audience in an authentic way. So we created Attentioneers to do just that and help our clients leverage our results and our thousands of videos of content creation and how we understand content to work and help make them more successful. So we've helped clients get incredible results from 250xing their views to getting more views than they've ever had to millions of views in a month to, you know, converting to clients or converting to speaking engagements and becoming thought leaders in their space. So it's been really special to take all of our viral video content expertise and help mission-driven messengers make a difference.
So y'all basically have figured out the secret sauce.
I'd say so.
And then it's like taking it and helping people in probably all different kinds of industries to craft something in the secret sauce. Because we manage a lot of social media in my agency. And then what I notice is a lot of times that our clients will come to us and they understand social media. They understand how to post, they understand, you know, and they engage and that type of logistical side of it, but their messaging is always off.
100%. And it's interesting because that's usually where we need to start with clients, right? Is they'll come in and say, I want to make a bunch of content. And it's like, that's great. Love that you're into that. And you need to be. I think anytime you're approaching a piece of your business of like, oh, I have to do this because everyone else is doing it. The energetics of it just make it so much more difficult to begin with. But once you're on board of, okay, this is the way that I want to reach people, or this is how I want to connect with my audience, then one of our first questions is like, great, what are you trying to get to them to do? What is the end game? Because if we're not clear on that, the content, we can make a bunch of great content, but we might be setting them in a whole different direction. And then once we know what that is, the next question is awesome. How do you want to be known? What are your brand values? What's your brand voice? Because what I don't want to do is make anyone do anything that's inauthentic to them. We often get posed, you know, the pushback of, well, I don't want to dance, or I don't want to do trending audio, or I don't want to be involved in these types of challenges. So I'm always like, great, I don't want you to do that either. It doesn't matter to me. And in fact, with all the deep data that we have on viral videos, we know that the top performing videos almost never involve those things. So it's more important to me that we figure out the best way to package you that's authentic to you and makes sense for your brand and the way that you want to go. And is that messaging clear? Do you know what you want to say to your audience? Do you know where you want to send them? Do you know what that journey looks like for them to go from finding your video on their discovery page to ending up on your website? And if you're not thinking through all those pieces first, then no matter how great and compelling the content is, it's not going to perform and you're going to be frustrated. So, or, you know, if something does do well, but we haven't attacked those things first, you're going to feel like an imposter because it doesn't align with what you actually believe. So I hear you. I think it's so important to have that messaging piece first before you even start looking at the content.
Yeah. And I think what you said is like completely gold. And the fact that like, what are we trying to get them to do? Because what I see is like, you know, and we'll run a lot of paid social and it's a traffic ad, but then the client wants me to put the link in the copy too. And I'm like, no. Like we can't have two different call to actions or they're not half the time.
Either one of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And same thing. Like there's like science behind these link trees and we all use link trees on our Instagrams, because obviously you can only, well, now you can have multiple links, but for the longest time you could only have that one link. And so people would use link trees, and they actually pulled data saying that like link trees were making things less effective because you're giving people too many options. So it's like, you've got to have one. You can't say click here. Oh, and also subscribe to the event. And also drop your email address here. Too much. Like one call to action or you're not getting anything.
100%. And I think what often gets overlooked in this process, and this kind of goes back to what we were saying before, of people just tend to copy what they see other people in their space doing. They see someone that they believe is having more success than them. Like if you're a real estate broker and you see somebody else with a link tree, it's like, oh, well, this is the new thing. Clearly I need to have a link tree, or clearly I need to have this type of video where I'm explaining this thing, or I'm setting up my content like, hey guys, welcome to my channel, you know, because you see other people doing it in that way. But there's two things to that. One, you actually have no idea how effective that is for the person, unless you're able to have a conversation with them candidly and they're willing to show you their backend data and say, yeah, you know what, this works great for me. Then I would say, sure, go ahead and copy that and make that your own. And so you can get a similar result or see how that works for you. But the more important thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't take into consideration your consumer's journey, right? We forget, we so easily forget what the viewer experience is like. And one of the best things that you can do as a content creator is go watch a bunch of content, scroll through on your phone. And one, as you sit there, ask yourself, why did I stop on this video? I'm watching this video about cats. What is it that I wanted to see here? What did I like about this video? What question did it make me ask? Am I going to go to the profile? What am I looking for when I go to the profile? Am I going to go click on photos? Am I going to click on more reels? Am I going to go read the bio? Am I going to click on the link? And just start to notice your own behavior and how you interact on social. And that will tell you a lot, without even if you're vastly different than your target audience, just becoming an observer and having an awareness around your own behaviors is going to massively increase the value of the intentions you put behind why you set things up a certain way. Because the reality is the average person sees 6,000 to 10,000 ads every single day. 20 million new videos are being posted to social media every single day. And a lot of those are not well constructed videos. But that's a lot of saturation. There's a lot, and our attention spans have gone down about 25% in the past 15 years. So our attention spans are getting shorter. The amount of content is getting more, is drastically increased. In fact, the amount of content that we have created as a species in the past few months exceeds the amount of content that we created as a whole since the history of time. Like we are reaching such an apex of how much content is out there. So no longer can we expect to deserve someone's attention. We have to earn it. And we have to take that perspective that you must earn your customer's attention, because if you don't do that, you will never get it. So it's important to start thinking about your behaviors. It's important to start looking and having an awareness for how you interact on social and what your preferences are and why you're reading certain things and why you're stopping on certain ads. And are you clicking the shop now button and why? And when did they lose you on that journey? Because at some point you get to a website, you just might get overwhelmed. You might click out before you buy something. And that's an important piece of information for you to know, because you're right. We give somebody too many choices. We ask them to do too many things, especially when we haven't earned their attention, we haven't built that trust or that brand awareness and that brand affinity, we're going to lose every time. So we have to be super clear on that. And the more that you can study yourself and your friends, the better.
So interesting that you're like flipping the script, because a lot of people use the, and I'm going to drop the A word, the algorithm that everyone, I feel like that's everybody's scapegoat when things don't go well for them. Everyone's like, well, the algorithm changed. Well, that, see, the algorithm, blah, blah, blah. It's always the algorithm. So I think it's so interesting that like you haven't even freaking mentioned the word algorithm yet. Everything you're talking about is more like the construction of the video and the behavior of people on social media. Maybe the algorithm is just like a complete lie. Maybe it doesn't even exist, you know, like,
you know, it's so fascinating. I hear this all the time too. And I think this is just one of those things. I think humans are very predictable. And one of the things that's predictable about people is that when they're afraid or when there's resistance about doing something new or failing in public or, you know, potentially having a fear come to reality or being seen in a certain way, that maybe they're afraid of someone making a comment or not getting the results. And especially in such a in your face instant gratification piece where you can see the number of comments and views and likes and what have you. I think people look for any reason to say why they're not going to do something. And I get it. I totally get it. And I've been there too. And when I was a full-time content creator for years, we did have to deal with major algorithmic shifts. Things that worked and were working really well for us for months would suddenly shift. And those styles of video wouldn't be how we could approach it anymore. But that didn't mean that we weren't going to have success again. We just had to change our approach. But that's like being upset because you're running an ad or a commercial. And after the commercial's been on the air for 3 months or a couple weeks or whatever, it doesn't have the same type of impact as it did when it first came out. And you have to come up with fresh creative. You have to come up with a new approach. This is what huge brands have to do all the time to stay relevant, to stay in the media, to stay in your brain. This is why, you know, theme songs change and jingles change and spokespeople change. There's a lot of different things that can happen when that stops being effective. You know, we have, you know, deep relationships with a lot of the different platforms. And even the people that work at these platforms don't know what the algorithm is doing. Like, it's literally a black box. It's, you know, talk about AI making its own decisions. And what they'll do is say, okay, we want people to engage more in this way, or we want to see more of this, or we want to see people, you know, we want to lengthen the watch time of people doing this, or the amount of time that they're on the platform. And at the end of the day, that's what every platform is trying to do. They are trying to keep you on that platform. So that is the algorithm's end goal, is how can I reward the creators that are helping keep people on the platform? And you help keep people on the platform by keeping their eyeballs on the content longer. And so for us, you know, out of everything that shifts, because algorithms might prioritize the number of likes, the number of shares, and the number of saves, the number of comments differently, depending on the week, the season, the day, the temperature on Venus, who knows, right? But the one thing that is consistent that I can measure the success of a video by is the length of time that people are watching it. And that's within my control, is how do I engineer this content and set it up in such a way so that people will want to keep watching it for as long as possible. And then what that does is if I do my job correctly, then the algorithm is going to take that opportunity to say, okay. And by the way, when the algorithm's looking at your video, it's looking at multiple things, from what's happening in the visual, to what text is on screen, to what's being said, to what's in the description. And it's using all of that data and information to find an audience of people that like that. Because what's served to you is not based around who you follow. In fact, you might find, as you're now more aware and start observing your behavior and scrolling through, it might take you a couple of scrolls before you actually see a post from someone you know, right? What you're going to see first is the content that you have watched the longest and engaged on the most before that. So for me, I watch a lot of horse content and a lot of dog content and a lot of like interesting animal friendship content. So if I just watched a video about a bear cub hanging out with a deer, the algorithm is probably going to serve me a video of like a bunny playing with a dog or a horse playing with an alpaca. And now my entire, you'll notice this, right? You watch one video of something and suddenly your whole feed is like, well, are you interested in this type of animal friendship? Are you interested in this type of video? And that's what happens. The algorithms are prioritizing what it's serving you based upon interest, not familiarity. So it's using all the data in the video to figure out, okay, what's this video about? And then it's using your behavior to determine, okay, is this person possibly interested in this content? And then it's working to try to place those two things together. So the good news is that I think that there has never been a better time to be a creator. Because before, you know, a few years ago on Instagram, on Facebook, TikTok was the first one to change the game and actually really prioritize this interest model over familiarity. But it used to be if you didn't have a large following, your content wasn't going to be seen. But now, if you have a very specific industry and you stick in that and all of your content is around that and supports that, it helps the algorithm to find the people that are most interested in that. So you might not end up with a million followers, but you don't necessarily need a million followers to get the conversion that you want, right? And this is what goes back to what is success for you? What are we trying to get them to do? Because I could get you a million views potentially on a video, but if a million views isn't what you want, then that's not going to be helpful. Or I could get you a lead, but if you really want this other thing, then that's not going to be helpful. Or, you know, if you get the lead, but you really want this vanity metric, then that's not going to be helpful. So it's funny how it all just kind of keeps coming back on itself.
Yeah, but it's like building a strategy based on what they're trying to do, you know, instead 100%. Of just like blindly making content. What do you think, if you had a ballpark guess, like algorithm versus the structure of the content, what do you think? Is it 50-50 of what, you know, 50% dependent on the algorithm for the success, or and 50% of the construction of the video?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'm going to say that. So the way that I like to look at this is like I live in Las Vegas. So walking into a casino and you being like, I would like to win a lot of money. What slot machine should I play? And I can tell you, looking at the floor, I can't tell you which one's going to win, but I can tell you, looking at the floor, which ones had better odds. I can tell you which ones have looser slots. And I can tell you the number of people that have been at that slot machine that day and it hasn't paid out. So that's probably has a higher likelihood of actually doing something. So I can tell you, looking at a video, whether or not it will be successful. Now, I can tell you in a heartbeat if a video is constructed poorly. And most content is, because again, people aren't thinking about the psychology of attention. They're not thinking about how to earn attention. And that is, if people focused on the quality over the quantity of the content that they were making more, they would see massive results and a massive difference in their viewership, in the brand affinity and awareness that they were building, and all the things that they want to do. So for starters, I think we have a quantity problem in this world where people are just ascribing to this, I just need to get something up model. And I can tell you what, is if you continue to post bad content, the algorithm is going to continue to limit your page because all you're doing is teaching the algorithm that you make bad videos. So when we would get into slumps with our content of like, man, we can't get anything to hit right now. I mean, it's a great time to experiment and try a bunch of new things. It's also a great time to take a break and say, you know what, like this isn't working for me right now. I'm going to take a week or two and like figure out a new strategy and see if I can try something else that's like totally different and what that looks like for me. Because to continue when you're on the downward trend is only going to push you further down unless you are engineering the content specifically for it to do really well. And here's the thing, right? Like if you're focused on increasing the watch time in your videos, a video may not initially take off. And we've seen videos that have had really high watch times that didn't initially take off, but that took off 6 months later because maybe something else in that industry suddenly had a viral video that popped up, or maybe it was seasonally related, right? We did something that was a feel-good video or had a holiday theme to it, and we just like missed the boat on the holiday videos of that year. But 6 months, 8 months later, people are getting ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That video is now jacked up. So it is our belief that you can't out-strategize bad creative. We believe that great videos are made before they're shot. And if that is the one takeaway that I have for everybody, is to spend more time thinking about your content and planning on the front end to make the shooting process, the editing process, the posting process much more seamless. And also, it'll help you understand why things are working and why things aren't working. Because you also have this problem where people just post content, something takes off, and then they have no idea why. And then they spend a ton of time trying to recreate it, and then they can't, and then they're frustrated, and they don't understand, and then they blame the algorithm, they call it a fluke, and they move on and say, this doesn't work. So I would say, I mean, our biggest message is to make great quality content. And you do that by focusing on watch time. Now, with that being said, yes, the algorithms, I more so than algorithms, I'd say, you know, there is just the luck of the draw that some days you're going to post content and a million other great creators are going to have posted really great videos that day. And so even though you might have made the best video you've ever made, so did a million other people. And so now you're splitting those eyeballs across a bunch of great content. Meanwhile, you might post a video on a day where not a lot of people are posting great content. And so even though that video might not have been the best video that you engineered, suddenly that's doing a lot more. So there is that piece of it. If you don't know what else is working or running in the world at the time, and that's not your job. I also had a situation where I had a video that was stolen off of one of my pages and uploaded to a guy's TikTok. And it got 40 million views on his page. It had made international headlines, nothing attached to my name. It grew his page to, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. We got his platform taken down. But in that time, we had all of these pending copyright cases that were happening around that. And I think it was something like 20,000 different copyright cases that were popping up every single day about this video, people taking it and reposting it and taking it and reposting it. And so it was heartbreaking on one hand, right? Because we lost all these views. We monetized off of the content. So we were losing money as well as the views. But the interesting thing about that is that my video was stolen tens of thousands of times. And maybe one in every, I'm not going to give that number. I'm going to say there were maybe a dozen that actually had over a million views. And these weren't necessarily big pages either. So it also just goes to show that the piece of content was strong. And this guy who had no followers posted it on his page and it got massive traction. And then a ton of other people took it and only a few of them reaped the benefits of that. So there is something to, depending on the day and the time and the audience that's watching it, will determine whether or not that video takes off. But, you know, that's just like anything else. You're not responsible for those pieces. All you can do is make great content and have your strategy set up for how you want it to go. It's the same thing with your website. It's the same thing with your emails and your newsletters. It's the same thing with your webinars. It's the same thing with your keynotes. Your responsibility is to make great content with the intention to convert to the thing that you want to convert to. And if you're able to set that up appropriately, you can't win. You can't lose over time. You just have to devote yourself to that process.
I see us almost, and sometimes I tell clients this, it's almost like we're like little mini scientists, you know, like, and I've been in this game for 15 years or something. And I don't know exactly how many. and I do know I can make a hypothesis based off my experience, my education, all that. But do I get it right the first time, every time? No. But I know enough about it to make a great hypothesis. But then you have to have like a control where if the potion doesn't work the first time, you remove one thing. You don't remove 14 things because then you don't know 100%. What's going to change. You remove one little thing and you test it again. And then you add something different in and you test it again. And it's like, but you know, our clients sometimes get really frustrated when I tell them that because they want a quick fix. They want a diet pill that's going to make them drop 50 pounds overnight. It doesn't work that way. If it were that freaking easy, everybody would be doing it. Everybody would be millionaire content creators, you know? But you know, we live in such an instant gratification world that people don't realize how much time goes into this. Like you were saying, you guys spent hours and months developing and studying to create a hypothesis. And finally you found a concoction that worked.
Yeah. I mean, we say this all the time, amateurs hope for the best and professionals post and test, right? Like you cannot, this goes for any piece of content, whether it's a podcast interview. I had to do the same thing when I was interviewing major celebrities and my approach. You cannot take anything personal as a creator. You have to be willing to set the personal aside and not hold the art precious. And that's the difference between a master of their craft and somebody that's an amateur or just playing, because the amateurs desperately need to hold on to the results, whereas the professionals are just like, cool, that didn't work. What else can we try? Cool, that didn't work. What else can we try? We knew creators, because they would know within a couple of hours of posting up a video based upon certain metrics, how essentially like whether or not it was going to rise up and be successful. And if they were not seeing a video trending in that direction, I mean, again, this is their full-time job. We don't do this now. We don't advise our clients to do this, but it's an important story. They would just take the video down. If it wasn't working or they didn't see it was trending in the right way, they'd take it down. They'd tweak something and they'd post it again. That didn't work. They'd pull it down. They'd tweak something and post it again. They might do this 7 or 8 times in a day.
Really?
Uh-huh. To get that video right, because it mattered to them. It mattered more than having the creative license of, well, I wanted to set the video up this way. It mattered more than, well, I think people should like this. What mattered more was, that's not working. What if I try this? What if I change the opening? What if I change the title? What if I change the music? What if I change the thumbnail? What if I do this instead? Huh, this is working, but that's not working. Let me try this. And then at some point they'd let it go, right? And say, okay, well, I gave this my best shot. We'll try again tomorrow. So there's, and again, full-time content creators, this is for business owners, would never ask anyone to do that. But it is an important piece of business ownership, right? You don't just create your offering and then never take feedback from clients and never change it. You don't just make a website and never iterate on that. The point is not for something to be a one and done concrete experience. It's, this is the foundational piece. This is what I think people want from me, but that might not be right. Maybe I need to up my pricing. Maybe I need to change the title of my book. Maybe I need to go about my interview style in a different way to be more effective. And just in life, I think the more you can approach things from curiosity out of fear or blame or needing to see a result right away, I think you're going to see better results overall. And that's really important with short form content creation, right? This is supposed to be fun. This is a way to connect with your clients in a fun and interesting way that doesn't require that you cold call or have to do something that might feel more monotonous. So allow it to be fun and allow it to be experimental.
Yeah, it's inbound. I always tell people inbound is the new outbound. Outbound used to be everything where it's just like pound the pavement, call everybody you can, email, 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 place ads. And that's not what sells anymore. Inbound is the new outbound. So sometimes like I'll spend an hour of my day connecting with people on LinkedIn or following up with people I haven't seen in a long time. And everyone's like, how is that doing anything? And I'm like, you have no idea. Sometimes, yeah, it seems like me playing on a social media platform, but it's reconnecting with years of relationships that helps grow my business. It's business development without being outbound and salesy. It's just like reconnecting with people who I've already known, you know, it's just like a 100% different way of thinking.
And I think this is where we can get lost, right? It goes back to, well, I see so-and-so doing this, or I get mailers for this, so I should do these mailers, or I should do these phone calls, or I should do these newsletters, without ever really knowing the efficacy of any of that. And all you're doing is clogging up people's inboxes without being intentional. I mean, for us, if I had one word to describe how I want people to take on any piece of content, whether that's a speech or a newsletter or an email or whatever, it's be intentional. Be intentional with it. And it's also, again, important to know how your consumer, your customer interacts. Adobe did a study this year, we're in 2023, saying that 80% of the time that we are on our cell phones, which just think about how often this thing is, this little rectangle is in your hand. 80% of the time we're watching short form video. So when people come to me and they're like, you know, I'm really overwhelmed about all this that I have to do. And I don't know about, I have to post carousels and I have to do photos and I have to do lives and I have to do stories. And then I've got my email newsletter and I don't know what, I got to do webinars and what do I do? It's like, okay, well, if I'm going by the 80-20 rule, I'm putting my effort where people are. I'm going to put myself in front of the largest audience that I can, and I'm going to focus on that. And you see that happening now with what's happening in the news, with the different platforms, YouTube saying that it's removing its stories, it's prioritizing shorts. Facebook is removing news and going to put the Reels button there. There's a lot that's happening on the platforms to showcase where the platforms are prioritizing short form as well. So it's my belief that if you want to be and maximize the amount of time that you're doing the outbound, inbound, or however you want to look at it, where you're spending that time, let's go with where there's the least amount of friction to get in front of somebody's eyeballs. I mean, you could spend the time trying to get the other 20% of people's attention, but I think that that's a much harder game.
So if somebody comes to you guys and wants to hire you, like let's say a plumber comes to you, like something that's not sexy at all. And people, you know, I even have clients in the past who would say like, well, social media is not for me because I'm a financial planner and there's so much red tape around what I can say. And also it's a really boring industry. And like, that's just not for me. Social media is just not for me. I think that's BS. I think you have to find your angle. That's the PR person in me. Like you got to find your angle. So like if a plumber comes to you, where do you even begin?
Yeah. I mean, again, well, first, what's the goal? Probably more clients would be my guess. Mm-hmm. But what are we trying to do? Do they want to be a thought leader? Are they wanting to be a speaker? Are they wanting to be an author? Do they just want the vanity metrics? Do they want to get on big podcasts? What are they trying to accomplish in the business? And then from there, it's what are the voice and the values and what kind of content's going to resonate with the person that we're trying to attract? There could be so much fun plumber content. You know, Duolingo is a great example of this where it's a language learning app. You want to talk about a very unsexy product and a very difficult thing to talk about on social media. And they did not have a social media budget. I'm pretty sure when they started the account, it was just handed over to she's now, I think, the global marketing director for Duolingo. Her story is amazing. But when they started, they're like, yeah, sure, you can put together a TikTok. Like, we don't care. Just do it on your own time. And she decided to use this costume, probably left over from some convention activation, of Duo, their mascot. So just like a mascot bird. Yeah. And she made the decision to not post anything about the brand. There is not a single piece of content on Duolingo's TikTok that talks about the app. And they just made the decision that we're going to trust that our client is going to fill the gap and make the jump of watching our content to downloading our app. And all of their content is about Duolingo's day in the life and how Duo, this mischievous, silly little bird, is walking around Duolingo headquarters just causing just havoc everywhere he goes. And it's all about showcasing the value and the voice of the brand. And it is the number one most downloaded language learning platform that's out there, and especially among millennials and Gen Z. It is such a beloved bird. Ryanair is another great example. If you don't know Ryanair, they're like the budget airline of Europe. So the Spirit Airlines of Europe, essentially.
Oh, God.
And they could have made the decision, right, to try to compete against some of these more luxury brands or even like traditional airlines. And that wasn't who they are. And that's not what they were trying to do. That's not where they live. It's not their space. And so instead of trying to promote people to get on their planes, they just decided to embrace who they are. Yeah, we can get you from A to B and your flight will be $40, but you may or may not have a seatbelt and we don't care. Right? They anthropomorphize their planes, and their plane just talks trash about other planes. And their plane just, it's very similar to the Wendy's Twitter account, right? Yeah. They leaned in heavily to the ethos of the brand. We exist to give you cheap flights. We are not here to give you great customer experiences. Yeah. So if that's what you're looking for, you can go somewhere else. So I think it's important to remember, you know, short form video content in general shouldn't be an ad for your business. It should be a way to connect what matters to you to what matters to your customer and bridging that so you guys can come together. So when they need a plumber, they're just like, oh my gosh, I have to call Randy because he is just hilarious, right? Or maybe you're teaching them how to solve their own issues. Hey, when this happens, do this or try this. There are brands and huge, companies that have been made off of just giving away the advice that someone would call them and hire them to consult on. And that builds trust, right? If you teach me running electrical is not the right, let's use plumbing as an example. If you teach me how to fix my toilet, if you teach me how to look for a leak, if you teach me how to turn off my water, like, I don't know what things I would even need to know or look for. If you teach me, you know, how to make sure my pipes don't freeze, if you teach me what to do when a pipe bursts, if you teach me how to answer or ask the questions that I need to ask when I'm trying to call someone for a quote, what should I say? What shouldn't I say? What should I be on the lookout for? Right? There's a lot of different ways you can approach content that isn't just, and I'm a plumber and you should hire me to do plumber things. So that we have that conversation.
5, 5, 5, 3, 2, 1. Like, no, exactly. Dude, get out of here.
Exactly. So, you know, the content, there's a lot of different ways that you can cut the content. And that depends upon your personality and how you want to connect and what you think that your audience wants from you. And so that's where we would start. And we've worked with a lot of unsexy brands from, we've got people in the insurance industry and healthcare and health plans and, lawyers and all sorts of things that you wouldn't think, disability, that don't scream fun, sexy short form content. But again, remembering that that's not necessarily why we love to go to short form for entertainment, but people are also using short form as a new search engine. And in fact, more people are using TikTok as a search engine now than Google. It's the first time in over 20 years that that's been the case. And what's happening, especially among millennials and Gen Z, is they're going to the videos, the short form videos, for the quick answer. And then if they can't find the quick answer there, then they're going to YouTube for the long explanation. So thinking about that as well, of like, this is a nice taste for you to give somebody the quick version that can drive them to a longer piece of content if you want, and help to support you there. So I don't ever see a problem with somebody's industry as being the reason that that's going to keep them from getting the eyeballs that they want. And it might take a little bit more effort than something, you know, if we're working with the Chippendales, it's probably going to be a very different demographic and maybe a little less resistance on some platforms, but it also depends upon the platform and the audience that you're trying to reach.
This has been so awesome. Okay. Yay. So Hillary, if people want to reach out and connect with you and talk more, I feel like we could go all day, all night on this.
For sure.
And also, I love all your ideas. It just goes to show, like, you are totally made for this. If people want to reach out and connect, or maybe they need you or they want to hire you, tell them how to find you.
Yeah, the best place to find us is attentioneers.com. That's attention, E-E-R-S.com. And we're happy to provide, we provide free strategy calls. So you go to attentioneers.com/free call to book a call with either myself or my co-founder. And we'll take a look at your content. We'll see what's working for you, what's not working, and how we can walk you through how you can get a year's worth of content within a day, and what we would recommend that you do for that for your specific industry and your values and voice and what you're trying to accomplish. So we'd love to have a free call with you and see what comes next.
Love it. All right, y'all. If you want to reach out to Hillary, go to attentioneers.com. We'll drop everything in the show notes for you. You can also find her on all the social stuff and check out some of their fun videos. Hillary, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You got it going on. Like, you are totally made for this.
Thank you, Whitney. I mean, you too. I'm just so excited that we're connected.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using #TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.